Hi everyone.
Hello.
Hello. No, we will wait another minute and then we can start. Okay then, hi all. It's 2 minutes past the hour, so let's get started. Welcome to our ERAMSIC meeting. That has been rescheduled. We would usually meet next week, but due to absences and vacations, we are meeting this week. So thank you for making that happen and possible. As a note, before we start with the agenda items, our next meeting will be on September 17th. As always, I have linked the product council meeting notes. And as you may have read in our ERAM team Slack channel, we have a new PC liaison, that's Charlotte, who we can always address with things that we want her to bring to product council for us. This has been a task that I have been doing, but I'm no longer on product council, so that's why thanks to Charlotte for that. We had no homework for today. Plan for today is our usual development update, and then we have implementers topics that we want to talk to about today. Before we start, I have one announcement, and that is related to the community priorities dashboard that the PC is creating at the moment. We have talked about that in past meetings. They are asking the top five priorities for each functional area, and then they want to look at these priorities that are defined by the individual six. And then they will look at these priorities and see whether, which one they think is most important and maybe see what they can do to move those things forward. And we have created for all our implementers topics Jira tickets that you can vote on anytime. And out of these results, what is the highest voted ticket or issue or requirement, we will create our top five list. We will pick topics from each of the sub ERAMSIC areas like e-usage, ERAM, e-holdings, and so on. And those will be published then on this community priorities dashboard. I will add the link in a sec after this meeting. And then we will be invited as six to the PC meetings to approximately 10 minutes talk about the priorities that we have listed. And then the product council members have a chance to ask questions about the priorities that we have given. And like we, these talks will happen, I think, after end of August. And then, yeah, we need to schedule when we as eRemSig will be in that PC meeting. I will keep you posted on that. Any questions? I see no questions. I would just add that the community priority dashboard will be published to the community before WolfCon, and then the product council will like establish a routine, like how often do we need to update our priorities that we list and so on and so forth. With that, Owen, I would stop sharing my screen and would hand over to you for the development progress update.
Hi everyone. Thanks, Martina. So, let me just share my screen. And to say we're in sprint 223 of for development. We're starting to approach module freeze for Trillium. I think that's in September. So we have about two sprints worth of work left before we freeze for Trillium. So we are starting to think about making sure that everything is wrapped up for the Trillium release now. We're currently working on some major Trillium features though, and the two ones that have taken most focus are the introduction of a GoKB search within agreements. And actually, I can show I haven't had a chance to do the QA on this yet, but I go to snapshot. We do now have in agreements the GoKB search, and we can search by the various fields that we talked about previously, and also filter by type. So, as I say, I haven't had a chance to do the testing on those yet, but all of the columns and information should be there, and all the searches that we previously talked about should be there. So this is currently looking at the GoKB test system. And the various different information for books and journals, etc. So, the next step with this is that currently, if you click on one of these results, nothing happens. The next step will be to have a view pane that's currently being worked on. And there you'll see obviously the details of that title. And from there, you'll be able to add the title or the package, the relevant package to the basket, and from the basket to the agreement. We talked about the workflow for that a while ago with probably with the local knowledge base subgroup actually, but that so that work is well underway, and I think yes, the search is all working. Should it, well, the search is all there. I need to test that it works as I expect and that all the results display as we expect, and then we'll have the various view options to are being implemented right now, and then the checking that that all works and that you can add things to the to agreements. And we talked about this with the local KB work group subgroup. That should be kind of seamless from the user's perspective, whether or not the resource has yet been synchronized to the local KB or not. So that's what we're working on there. The other thing I can't show you at the moment, but is being worked on is the implementation of acquisition units in agreements. So this is the work to be able to use acquisition units for agreements and agreement lines has been done on the back end, and I do have so the agreements API now can use the acquisition units. You can assign acquisition units to agreements, and you can, and they protect agreements from being edited unless you're a member of the right acquisition unit that has edit access. All of that acquisition units functionality that hopefully many of you will be familiar with from acquisitions already. We're working, so currently we're working on the UI aspect of that. The UI is, we've tried to keep it quite pretty close to the existing UI in orders and organizations and all the acquisitions modules. We have made a few changes. Some of those have been kind of forced on us just by the difference in terms of the modules, and some of them we think, we hope, are a kind of slight improvements. So if I show you, these are the designs. Can bring that. Oh, is that not opening up? See if I can. Okay, so when you're viewing an agreement or an agreement line, you'll have an acquisition units accordion, and this will show you the acquisition units that have been applied to the agreement, along with which actions they control. So you'll be able to see from here, this isn't something that happens in orders, like you just get to see a list of the acquisition units, but we felt it would be really helpful to see what they actually stop you or allow you to do. And in the edit screen, I don't know why that's not opening. Oh, I think it's because it's in. I think I want to edit the description. I don't. There you go. Then there'll be this option to add acquisition units. It's a type ahead, so kind of similar to the in orders and the other acquisitions modules. It's a slightly different format for the type ahead, but basically you start typing in the box and it gives you a list of all the acquisition units. We've included the description of the acquisition unit and the things it controls, so you're not just looking at the name in case there's a bit more detail that's useful there. And then once you've chosen it, then it's added, if you look at the bottom of the screen, added to an MCL in the same way in the view screen. So it's a little bit different to the UI, but hopefully similar enough that it's not disorienting And where we've made changes, I hope that they just add a little bit of value to the view. Some, as I say, in some cases, like we felt we didn't have a choice of changing just because of the structure of the module. But I hope that what we've done is to also add a bit of value there when we've made changes. We have tried to keep it as similar as we can. And those are the two main pieces of work. Sorry.
Thanks, Owen. Sarah is raising her hand.
Yeah, Sarah.
Hey, I have one. Obviously, the Five Colleges is a heavy user of
Yeah.
acquisitions unit in and the reason I raised my hand is that this is actually really, really different to a degree that to me, at first thinking, it's going to cause problems. So right now we just have acquisitions unit, like MH for Mount Holyoke and UM for UMass, and then permissions are completely separate from that. So I could be an MH person who has only view privileges, permissions. Or I can be an MH person that has, full acquisitions, invoicing, yada, yada, yada permissions. And so here now it's being flipped that the acquisitions unit seems to also define the permissions
That
and
so sorry, just to clarify, that is how permission acquisition units work. So each acquisition, but it's not, but these are two intersecting things. So your permission to edit an order, let's say, or edit an agreement is controlled by folio permissions. You either have the edit permission for agreements or you don't, right? And that's not changed. But each acquisition unit, if I show you, the setup for acquisition units, and this isn't ours, this is how acquisition units work. So we're not, each acquisition unit controls whether mem what members of the unit can do. And those are the four things that the acquisition units control. So that means you can have an acquisition unit that allows you to view something but not edit it, for example. And even if you have edit permissions, you can't edit it, right? You can only edit it if you're a member of the acquisition unit that allows you to edit that thing. So in the so I guess that you've probably got, in the case of Mount Holyoke, you probably have just a Mount Holyoke acquisition unit with all four of these checked, and then only Mount Holyoke staff are members of Mount Holyoke acquisition unit, or maybe everybody can view everything. I guess maybe do you allow
So
everybody to view?
maybe that is where my misunderstanding of how it works is, because it must be that everybody can view everything, because I can view UMass, I can view Smith, everybody can view, right? And then it must be that edit, create, delete is for our acquisitions unit. And so then, so for example, let's say I'm assigned the acquisitions unit, and then somebody else who has view privileges, even if they're a Mount Holyoke person, is not assigned to acquisitions, the acquisitions unit, MH, and they can only view it, but then they can't edit, create, delete. Is that, am I understanding correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
And that, so we're just, all we're doing is exposing exactly that list that already exists for every acquisition unit. So it doesn't, like, if I were to add you to this acquisition unit, but you didn't have create agreements permission in Folio, you wouldn't suddenly be able to create agreements. And the say that's how it works with orders as well. Like you have to have both the right folio permission and be a member of the right acquisition unit to be able to do, for instance, edit or view things in a particular acquisition unit, depending on how it's been configured here. So like, yeah, we're obeying all of the same rules. We're just displaying a bit more information from this page in the view.
Yeah, thanks for that question and the clarification. Sorry, Sarah, you unmuted. There
And
is
I
a
see,
question by Felix. You see that? Okay.
with the implementation and agreements, do we have to know the name of the unit to find it, or will a list display if you click inside the field? Good question, Felix. What happens currently? Is it just you get a list of.
Yeah, in orders, it's just you get a multi-select and then you can select it. But it's harder if it's a longer list, then it's harder to find. But I was
Yeah, so.
just thinking if I don't know if it's called, I don't know, serials or ongoing, then I wouldn't be able to find my acquisition unit. Maybe if I knew stuff. Oh, you
Yeah.
can type ahead here as well. Okay.
So, yeah, it is a type ahead here as well. It's a good question. I can't
And
remember.
Owen, so that's interesting because, like for us, for example, I only get offered MH.
Yeah,
So somehow.
because you can't do things that if you're not a member of it. So
Right. So maybe this helps those Felix too. Maybe depending on what acquisition unit you're under, you won't see the full list here. You'll only see the full list in like the filter.
yeah, but if there's no filter, then if there's just a type ahead and not a list, if I click inside the field, then I can get stuck because if I don't know what to type in here.
No, like that's what I'm saying. Like I go there and I click on the little drop down and all I see is MH. I don't see AC, I don't see UM, I don't see SC, like I don't see the other options. The only time I see all the options is if I'm doing like a search and filter.
Yep, but my question
Oh,
was if
okay.
it's the same in agreements. So if you click inside the field, do we have this list or do we have nothing?
So I can't I mean we haven't finished the implementation yet, so I can take that back. But I think that the oh Jill's
Oh, great.
Jill
Thanks, Jill.
you will see options before typing. There you go. The only qualification to that, I think, is that our default is to display up to 10 options before you start typing. I asked a question in the acquisitions channel about how many acquisition units people had, and I got two answers, and the first answer was six, and the second answer was hundreds. So obviously in the first case that's fine, and in the second case that's a lot. As Sarah says, you're probably not a member of all, however many hundred that is. And so, you know, if you're only a member of up to 10, you'll be fine. Thanks, Heiko. 20, greater than 20. Yeah, it does depend. And yeah, one of the challenges here is that I think that the way that acquisition units might be used, people are seeing this in quite different ways. You know, Sarah's given some detail of how they use it in the five colleges, but that obviously won't be the same as, say, Felix's use at ZBW. Where there are more acquisition units for whatever reason, then that's more challenging. Yeah, I mean, there are some real finickety, like there's some real small details here about exactly what happens when you're using acquisition units, which we are trying to make sure we adhere to the existing acquisition units behavior, but that is not always, I would say, completely intuitive. It works very well in the simple case, but probably not so well in a more complex case. I did talk to Dennis about this, and he said that they felt that the existing functionality worked best if when that there was only one acquisition unit assigned to each thing. So one acquisition unit on an order or one acquisition unit on a agreement, but multiple, but people could belong to multiple acquisition units. And the reason that's probably the best operation right now is that if you assign multiple acquisition units to a thing, then questions about how do those two acquisition units interact, if you're a member of one or not the other, or not a member of either or a member of both, is quite not non-intuitive. Well, I guess the question about whether it's intuitive or not is not my call, but it can become complicated to work out. Essentially, at the moment, the least restrictive permissions always apply. So if you have one acquisition unit that restricts view and one that doesn't, and they're both applied to a single order or a single agreement, then the everyone can view option wins. So you have to be quite careful if you're applying multiple acquisition units to a single object. And that, again, is not behavior that we've added for agreements. It's just how they're implemented across the board at the moment. But trying to make sure that we're obeying all those rules is sometimes a bit complicated. I think in the simple cases, like Sarah described for Mount Holyoke and Five Colleges, it's not a problem. Everything probably should only get one acquisition unit, and that's fine. I think in more complex cases, if people want to do more complex things, then will hit the limitations of acquisition units quite quickly. That's we're trying to just make sure we obey the existing acquisition unit rules as far as we are able to.
And if I can just confirm that, Owen, then too, like these existing rules. So, for example, in orders, sometimes what happens is, somebody's working quickly. I forget how, but somehow they apply the wrong acquisitions unit. This can happen. I don't know how this happens exactly, but occasionally it does. And then you can't edit your order. And you have to actually contact the other school. They're like, I have to reach out to Smith and say, somebody to Smith in acquisitions, hey, can you go into this order and change it to MH so that now I can have my order back, kind of thing. And so, will this apply in agreements too, then that it basically also locks it down? It sounds like it, right? Like, because then I don't have Smith permissions. And so the acquisitions unit locks down the what you can do.
Yeah, exactly. So as once you like once you've said, if you assign an acquisition unit, and this can happen, it does depend a bit on the setup of the acquisition units, and what that you're allowed to do. And but this can it definitely is possible to configure it this way, that you're able to assign an acquisition unit to an agreement, to an order when you create it, that blocks you from then editing it. And so the first save happens, and then subsequent saves, then subsequently you can't edit it again. And so exactly that scenario can occur. And yes, I did anticipate that exactly that scenario can occur in agreements as well, because you will be able to potentially have the an acquisition unit which you're allowed to assign on creation, but not. But then blocks you from editing the thing, doesn't come with edit permissions. So it's possible for that to happen. And I can't really see a way out of that apart from obviously, like, I have asked Dennis, like, I do think that currently the fact that you can create a something that then you can not edit is a bit counterintuitive, but it kind of makes sense in the logic of how acquisition units work. Whether that's ideal or not, I don't know. It's
I
hard to think
just
of a situation where that's useful, but it might be. I don't know.
No, it could be, but so I'm not saying anything. I get the logic behind it and everything. I was just confirming that the behavior would be the same then, and wondering whether if there's then a way to have a better error message that alerts you to the fact that the reason you cannot do something is, oh, but this is not your acquisitions unit. Right,
So,
because throughout Folio, there you often get red toasts, and they don't really tell you what is wrong, and then you have to like scroll up and down and hunt, and sometimes it's not clear at all because it's actually something else in a different app, like you
yeah.
don't have enough money. So, having clearer toasts, red toasts, would be really helpful.
I think that in the case of the, I think in the case of the acquisition units, the behavior that we're emulating and it exists at the moment is that if you don't have edit permission, but you can view it, then you simply don't see the edit action in the drop down. So there should never be a point at which, like, the problem is there's no explanation for why that's grayed out, but it would be grayed out. And then you'd have to think, oh, why can't I edit this and go and find the acquisition unit details to know that was the reason.
So, well,
I'm
this, so with orders too, right? You have the order and then you have the order line. And the order is where the acquisitions unit is. So you can be on the POL and then it's not obvious, right? And in agreements, we have the same thing. We have agreements and then agreement lines.
Yes,
So.
it will be the same. You assign the acquisition unit at the agreement level, and that's inherited by every agreement line in that agreement. But there will be we will display, and I think all orders does this as well. We will display on the agreement line the list of acquisition units that apply via the agreement. So as long as you can view the agreement and view the agreement line, you'll be able to see which acquisition units apply and whether they restrict editing or whatever else. As I say, what won't be like if this is grayed out, if this edit is grayed out here. And the same for agreements. We'll gray it out because you don't have permission, because you're not a member of the right acquisition unit, but there's no error message to show at that point. It's just, unfortunately, it's not like you've tried to edit and then that's failed because you're not a member of the right acquisition unit. That would create an error toast. But actually the behavior is to try and not let that happen in the first place. So I'm not quite sure what the right approach would be to make it clearer you didn't have edit permission because of your acquisition units. But I think that's something we'd want to discuss with the acquisition SIG so we have consistency in that case. I mean, we could obviously put a big red bar at the top of an agreement, but I don't think that's the right thing to dive into without having a discussion. So for Trillium, given the timelines at the moment, I think it will be with our aim is to pretty much as closely as possible, as closely as we possibly can, replicate the existing functionality from orders and organizations and all the other apps that already use them. But I do agree that there are improvements to be made overall, and I think we ought to probably have a joint discussion with the acquisition SIG at some point to try and work out what they should be.
Hey, do we have any other questions? related to the dev update. Okay, do we then want to continue with the implementers topics?
Sorry, I do have one more question. Yeah, so we'll, sorry, because I was just looking at the orders and agreements and going back and forth and looking at acquisitions units. Sorry. So will the acquisitions unit application in agreements stop me from misapplying a order from a different acquisition to my agreement line? Or a POL rep, you know.
No, because if you can edit the agreement line and you can view the order, then you'd be able to apply it. So if you couldn't view the order, it would you would never see it to apply it. But if you can view the order, there's no logic that says it should be impossible to have agreements in an acquisition unit that is different to the orders acquisition unit or anything like that. No, there's no cross app logic there that, and I'm not even sure what the right, like, I guess it's the same as orders and invoices, right? So you can, again, it's like there's nothing that says acquisition units can't cross over, like one from orders to a different acquisition unit in invoices. And I'm not even sure that, like, I know that for your scenario, like, there's a never the twain shall meet, right? So it's like once it's in, it's either one institution or another. But I think there could be other situations where, like, your acquisition units that are used in invoicing might be about, I don't know, something different, dividing things up in a different way to the things that you're doing in orders. Like, it might be based on, I don't know, the site it's been arrived at when you've got centralized ordering but distributed invoicing. You know, like, you can imagine different scenarios there where it would be sensible to allow it. And that is, I mean, I'm not saying that that there shouldn't be a method, but that's not something we've looked at all in this implementation. So yes, it would be, if you could view the order, you could apply it to the agreement. If you can't view the order, you wouldn't be able to, because it wouldn't be in the search when you said add agreement, add of order line, link order line. It just wouldn't appear in your search. But
To plant a seed for when you talk to Dennis and future flowers, you know, that there's a toggle where institution A wants to make it, you know, cross app.
Yeah.
And other ones where I get it, like if you have a big central location for receiving and payment and then everything gets distributed out, it makes sense that you can then do cross, but it would be nice to be able to control that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There is another question from Felix in chat. Will orders and agreements share the same units?
Oh, absolutely. We are using the acquisition units from orders. So there's no double definition of acquisition units here. There's no additional setup. You, the acquisition units you see in agreements are exactly the ones from orders, using the orders API to get that information and to get the information about who's in which acquisition unit. If you want me to go into a little bit more detail, I will say that the implementation we have would allow us to use other things instead of acquisition units to restrict who could edit particular objects in the system. But as it stands, there's no other implementation. So our implementation is slightly more generalized than just acquisition units. But for the first implementation, only acquisition units are present, and they're the only things implemented. But if in future there was a different way of defining teams in your organization that wasn't acquisition units, that came from somewhere else, then we could also do work to integrate with that, because the the mechanism we're using to protect a resource is not tied explicitly to acquisition units. It's but it uses acquisition units over the top of a slightly more generalized mechanism. So, yeah, there could be other options going forward, but for the moment, yes, absolutely. All part of the same acquisition units. No new work to be done there.
Okay. And, oh, I'm sorry. Just one more seed for the future. And Zorian's not here, sadly, but that is where definitely in the past we've gotten into trouble of, oh, oops, in in E Holdings linking the wrong agreement.
Right,
Like,
because
oh, I chose the Amherst one instead of the Mount Holyoke one because we.
okay, so yeah, I mean that suffers the same problem, right, we've just been talking about, which is that if you were to use acquisition units that constrained view, then when you were in E Holdings, you wouldn't see that agreement to choose it, but because you allow everyone to see everything, you will continue to see that and will be continued to be able to select it. Oh no, but actually, in that case, I don't know. Actually, that's a good, it's a, there's a question there that I need to check, because what you're actually doing when you choose an agreement inside E Holdings, so just let me.
It may have changed, but I know in past flowers this was possible because
Yes.
it
So
happened.
what I'm yeah, sorry, what I'm thinking, let me just see if I can find an example. Doesn't really matter what. Okay. So what we're talking about is if I do this, right?
I'm
And then
not
I get.
seeing your screen, just so you know that.
Okay, just a second. I need to do something anyway. I'm just setting up an example so we can take a quick look. Right. And then I'll share my screen. Okay. So what we're talking about is if I do add agreement here, then if this was a Amherst agreement, you could still select it and have added your the Amherst agreement instead of the Holyoke agreement, Mount Holyoke agreement, to this resource. That's the issue, right?
Yes, that's the issue.
And so I think, so I'm just trying to remember. So what this does when I click this, yeah. So that's actually doing an edit on the agreement. And that would fail if you, in your scenario, because, so this might be a situation where I'm not sure what the result of that will be. I'd need to do some testing, but but not cooperating. So I think that the situation will be there, Sarah, that that will fail because you're try because actually, but to a add a an E holding resource to an agreement, you need to be able to edit the agreement. So that will fail. You will still see the results, but it will fa but then when you choose it, it will fail. But I don't know what feedback the user will get at the point of failure. I suspect not very much, honestly. So I think this will be one step forward, not two steps back, but it will be one step forward when you want to go two steps forward. That is, it will fail, but it won't tell you why. And obviously, it would be much better if it failed and told you why it had failed. But I will double check that I don't, it may, I suspect that if it might tell you that it's failed with a general error message, but I can't. I don't think it can possibly anticipate it being an acquisition unit that's caused the failure because actually from eHolding's perspective, that wouldn't be any different to you trying to edit add the eHolding to the agreement when you didn't have folio edit agreement permissions. So I think that the if there is a fa a failure message, it will be quite general. That will so but that is a step forward, or at least half a step forward. It will actually fail for you in the future. And again, like as I say, the it can be complicated because if you were to assign if the agreement was assigned multiple agreement acquisition units, then things are not quite so simple. But in your case, I think I can say it will work in the way you would like it to.
Okay. Next try, I will share my screen and we will have a look at the implementers topics.
I think the first one is simple, so that's good.
Yeah, I think so. That's good. And Irina never can attend due to time zone issues, but and that's why it's just about she would like to be able to add tags for license amendments as well. That's possible for licenses, but she would like the below level as well.
I mean, from my point of view, the only question I'd have is if anybody here can think of a reason why either this would be a bad thing to do, or any particular questions about or comments on how it should be implemented. But my view is that it would be exactly the same as agreement and agreement lines, license and license amendments. We'd add the tag panel to the license amendment. You could add tags, and we'd add tag search to the license amendment search screen. And so unless anybody has any comments or objections to that, then it would be on me to create a feature and story to implement that, I think.
I'm just waiting some seconds. I don't hear or see objections or comments. And I mean the in orders and order lines, it's the same behavior. So I think that would be fine. I will note that as a to-do for you then, Owen, to create
Thank you.
a ticket. Thank you. And then Priyanka has raised something for one of their libraries, and that is to add additional options to the is perpetual field. And we have discussed that a while ago, that people asked for mix, I think, or something, and she asks for yes with fee or continued subscription. So anyone like who has additional options, requirements, who can see that or would strongly disagree. I think we already have a ticket for that. And that would be this one, agreements, improved support for recording perpetual access resources. I'm not sure whether we could just fit that into that and then people can vote on it. Or do you think that's different?
Well, I think it's a much broader. I mean, I think I, yeah, I mean, it's obviously much broader. But I think that as it currently stands, like changing this is not. There's some stuff around the perpetual content. Options, and I'm trying to remember what it is. When we first I see Sarah's hand. I'll just comment first and then get to Sarah. When we first wanted to support the perpetual access idea, my ambition was for it to be a lot more integrated and meaningful than it is. And I think that at the time it was one of the first, it was implemented right at the start of the agreements app, and it was probably one of those things where we definitely discussed in more detail what, the different scenarios of perpetual and non-perpetual access. And I think we've discussed it since as well, but we've never gone on from that first implementation. However, the fact that we were ambitious for it to be a bit more than its current situation led us to, rather it than it being a list of tenant definable options, we decided we would not allow the tenant to define the perpetual access options, but rather just have that yes, no. In fact, there are three values there, which is yes, no, and undefined, or not stated, however we want to see that, empty. So I think we could, the options, like if we were to like decide, actually, let's just let that field be tenant definable and stop worrying about the broader process, or at least not let concerns about the broader process hold us back from making that change, then Priyanka's request here and the request to have some other values here would go away, right? Because if we just made that a tenant definable list like we have for some other of the drop downs, it would be just up to you. Obviously that something similar could already be achieved by using it in combination with supplementary property. Priyanka could achieve this by having yes, no, and then with yes, with fee, with some kind of, you could have something like perpetual access conditions in the as supplementary property, and that could include with fee or with continued subscription. That would be another way of achieving a similar outcome. But yeah, I wouldn't mind deciding, actually, let's stop worrying about like my, some big ambition for the future to do something better. Which I think that feature that you mentioned, Martina, was really what that was for, was to actually get perpetual access done well. And that's why that mentions things like the difference between, do can agreement lines have different perpetual access conditions to each other within the same agreement? And do you need to actually define that at the agreement line level rather than at the agreement level, or at both levels? And yeah, and that may also relate to the mixed case, which is that, it's a if it's different for different agreement lines, then you can't really say at the agreement level whether it's perpetual access or not. It varies. So I think if we want to, I think that's a more ambitious aim. just having a field that is more flexible would be relatively straightforward, I guess. I'm a bit worried about the existing values for everybody, but I expect that that would be. I expect we could manage that. Have to have a think about that. Talk to the developers about it. Sorry, that I took longer there than I meant to, but Sarah.
So I guess the non-filling out is not really a third option, so to speak, or a third value because you can't filter on it. You can only filter on yes, no, and yes. So you can't filter on nothing. So nothing is useless. And I agree with and so I personally have basically just ignored that field because like you already say and also Felix says and Priyana that if you have mixed things, whether it's a or not just mixed in the sense that not all your agreement lines are the same, but also if it's conditional, let's say there's mixed and conditional, right? And some of the things were outlined there. I think it would be nice to have something where you could say where the filter is, you know, no, yes, not filled, none or blank or something, and then mixed and conditional. And then for everything else, you have to go to, you know, to go to supplementary properties. And that this is also at the agreement line. Because I think we can get either it has to be completely tenant defined because there are just so many flavors and they're constantly changing. And it also really depends on the resource, right? For streaming videos, you might also want life of file, right? It's kind of perpetual, but not really totally perpetual. What's perpetual? So I guess what I'm saying is I don't think it's necessarily bad to have it there as a system defined thing, but we do need more options than just no and yes. And it would be really great to then also have it at the agreement line level or some kind of field where we can put the information where the, even if it's then a drop down that we define there.
And if it was, if we were to kind of make that a little more, like make that tenant definable. Let's stick at the agreement level right now. Although I take the point about agreement lines, absolutely. Would it be useful? Would you think it would be better to have a single value there that you select for the agreement, or to actually have a list, like have a multi-value option that is, you can add as many, like you have a list of values that you've got for perpetual access. But you can add as many of those as you want to a single agreement. Or should we even be thinking about something slightly more sophisticated where we have like a perpetual access? I mean, maybe this is just going over ambitious again, but like where you could have perpetual access and a state, a perpetual access kind of value, and then a condition value, and then a note or something like that that allowed you to kind of just be a bit more expressive about perpetual access for a particular agreement. And I think if we did it, we could do it at both the agreement, you know, if we were to move forward with one of these, we could do it both the agreement and the agreement line level.
Me, that sounds very ambitious again, and then we won't get there very soon, right? Like, I guess that's why I was also kind of suggesting the adding a couple more values besides no, yes, you know, doesn't sound so difficult from my perspective on your side. I'm assuming that adding conditional and mixed is not a big deal, adding two more things. But maybe I'm wrong about that. I was just trying to think, okay, what. Because that would already go so much further in helping, and then we can define more locally at the supplementary properties level. Because I think everybody's going to have these very different flavored things depending on and what's important to them to track. And then we get bogged down in trying to come up with verbiage and agreeing. I mean, I think I would imagine that in Europe there can be certain other specialized perpetual access things than we have, or just because we're buying all these bizarre streaming videos with all kinds of weird caveats, and but not everybody does, and
Yeah, I mean,
And
I
like
think
I always say, it's the hard stuff. Keeping track of the hard stuff is what I need help with. I don't need help keeping track of the easy stuff, right? This has been from the beginning with Folio, right? It's been built of like, oh, let's take the simplest thing, monographs, and let's build it. Oh, check in, check out. Bingo, we're done. Like not done, but you get the idea, right? But that's not the hard stuff. That's not what I need help with. I need help with the hard stuff.
yeah, I guess that's like I don't think that it would be substantially more effort to add a slightly more sophisticated set of fields rather than just extend that one. And certainly in terms of adding to the agreement line level, the amount of complexity pretty much is very, very similar because adding one field with a value and adding an object which has two fields and a note would be not a significant amount of different effort at the agreement line level. So I guess I'm wondering how much better that would be, especially, given what you're saying, like obviously, like I would want to get it right in terms, so I wouldn't want to do a slightly more, but I mean, maybe we need to come back to this because it's 2 minutes past. I think that, is Jill still on the call? Yes, Jill's still on the call. I think Jill and I could probably come up with a couple of designs that were at a similar level of complexity and get your feedback on them. I think what I'm not proposing here is any related workflows, which is, was what we were kind of had in mind when we started. I think that could still be something we could look at in the future, but the splitting this recording of values away from any workflows we might support in the future by say, if we say actually, let's not worry about the workflows now, then that takes us away from any concern about what values an institution defines for that list, because it's only when you want to then later implement a workflow that looks for specific values that you care from a software point of view. So I think that if we stop worrying about that, take that complexity out, then we can do a better job on modeling the information you need to record here with, like, as long as we get it right, I don't think it'll be complicated. I wouldn't want to do something more complicated and get it wrong, but if we get it right, I don't think that the actual development time is going to differ very much. I mean, the most complicated thing would end up being deciding what to do about the existing field values going into the new set of values, because what if you don't want yes and no anymore and that kind of thing. So it's just like there'd be some, that would be the most complicated thing from our point of view, is kind of dealing with the existing values. So I think an action on Jill and I to come up with some designs for that we can discuss.
Hey, I will note that. Thank you so much. Thanks for the discussion and have a good week. Speak to you in September.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Also.